about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 again. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the insight, the wisdom, the grace that comes from your word. And thank you for the opportunity for us to take in more and more of that wisdom, that grace, that understanding, that counsel, as we read and meditate on your word each and every day. Father, with every passing day, help us to grow in our understanding of how important it is for us to be students of your word, believers who are daily reading and meditating on your word, and growing in our understanding of who you are, and drawing closer to you, and growing in our knowledge of how to put our faith to work. Lord, help us to learn much, help us to grow much, and help us to grow greatly in our love and our commitment to being students of your word. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you, our share-a-thon is just about right up on us. It's getting underway tomorrow. I want to remind you once again, even today, if you're a listener that you like to still want to call in and share a listener testimony, we invite you to still give us a call. Call this number 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. If you would like to call and share how the Lord has used Urban Family to strengthen you, to build you up as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless your life, to help you and your family to grow in your understanding of who Jesus is, and your to grow as a family in your walk with the Lord, if you'll call and share the testimony that shares that story, we would really appreciate hearing from you. Once again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. Also, we'd like to encourage you to be sure and get on our website, if you would. And we'd appreciate you getting on the website and subscribing. That website is urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, urbanfamilytalk.com. Also, we invite you to get on our website as well. Our Facebook page, Urban Family Talk Facebook page. Also, I have a specific Facebook page for the broadcast, Hour of Intercession. If you'll get on those and just like us, we'd really, really appreciate that. Also, let me mention, too, that we do have free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search Urban Family Talk, and you'd be able to, you know, get those apps. And with the app, you can take Urban Family wherever you might want to go. So if you'll do that, we would really want to encourage it and hope that you'll do that. We appreciate all of our listeners that are listening in today, and we want to invite and encourage you, please do pray for our share-a-thon as it gets underway tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week, the 18th through the 20th. Please pray for God to bless it, for it to be a tremendous time of edification, lifting up the name of Jesus, and for the Lord to bless it spiritually, financially, and otherwise. And pray that it will be a time of glorifying the Lord. So pray much for our next 3 days, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, share-a-thon, our fall share-a-thon. Today, I just finished reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And today, specifically, we want you to focus on the topic, this topic, even in the storm, the faith walk continues. Again, even in the storm, the faith walk continues. Now, keep in mind, what we're wanting you to grow in your understanding of is that faith is critically important to the life of every believer in all the world. The passage we read in Hebrews 11, notice one of the verse 6 in particular, has a powerful admonition and a reminder to each and every one of us. And keep this very important point in mind. Understand, all of God's word is the counsel of God, the wisdom of God, the insight of God. But there are certain truths and insights that are foundational to everything else. Specifically, again, in Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, I'm going to read that again, and I want you to really listen closely. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." One more time. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." In other words, the word of God is telling us very clearly, without faith, you cannot please God. No matter what else you might do, you can't please God without faith. So keep in mind, faith is extremely important to our walk with God and every aspect of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is very, very important. So if we're wise as believers, we will seek to really always, all our Christian life, study faith and better learn, just come to better understand how to put our faith to work, how to use it. Because remember, without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot please God at all. And so also notice, too, the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it tells you how you gain faith. The Bible does not say to pray for faith. It doesn't say to fast for faith. It doesn't say pull your hair out for faith. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if you want to grow, if you want your faith to grow and to develop, keep in mind that's one more reason why you should be a student of the Word of God. Reading and meditating on God's word is one of the ways whereby you grow your faith. Putting the word in your heart, in your mind, that's how you can help to really develop your faith. You need to be a student of the word of God. Now, keep this in mind, too. And again, we want to once again welcome all of our listeners, all those listening by way of radio, those listening on your phone apps, those are tuned into the Churbin, those on Afrika TV. Glad to have all of our listeners. Appreciate Carter Smith joining us today and Danny E. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family and watching family as well. Again, as I normally do, I want to remind you that if you're not reading the Word of God every day, today is a good day to start that very important habit. Because remember, God's Word is pregnant with the ability to bless you. God's Word is full of grace. It's full of life. To be pregnant is to be full of life. God's Word is full of life. It's full of grace. It's full of encouragement. And so keep in mind, if you're one who daily makes a high priority of spending time reading and meditating on God's word, that's going to bless you in so many ways, whether you understand it or not. Because remember, God's word is like a bottle of grace, and it's as if God wants to ask the question every day, how much do you want? So again, I encourage you to go to reading at least 3 chapters a day, because that's a good basic spiritual meal. But remember, if you want more, it'll bless you even more. So keep that very important point in mind. So the Word of God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So do you want your faith to grow stronger and to become more vibrant? Be a student of God's Word. And also, put your faith to work. Don't just gain faith to say you have it. You're supposed to be putting your faith to work every single day. And remember, the Bible says, faith without works is dead. You need to be putting your faith to work. So today we'll be looking Again, specifically at the topic, again, even in the storm, the faith walk continues. God wants us to have faith in every situation. When the sun is shining and when it's stormy outside as well, God wants you to have your faith at work. In the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, starting at verse 35, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" So keep in mind in this story, a very simple story from, call it a snapshot or a short video of sorts in the life of Jesus and his disciples. Jesus tells them, "Let's go over to the other side." They cross the lake, but before they get to the other side, a storm comes up, a pretty violent storm, and so violent that it's throwing water into the boat, and the disciples seem to think that it's going to take their life. And they cry out to the Lord, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Well, Jesus wakes up. Now, keep in mind, Jesus has gone to sleep on a pillow. Now, notice, they're about to panic and just very, very upset because of how violent the storm is, and they wake Jesus up. But remember, notice, Jesus is asleep in the boat. Now, how can Jesus be asleep in the middle of a storm? Well, number one, he was tired, but also, too, he knew how to trust God no matter what was going on. And remember this very important point. As a believer, there's never a time to panic. There's never a time to panic. However, we live in a world where it's not hard to find people that say they know and love the Lord, but they panic a lot. They're afraid. They're fearful. Understand this. The Bible says, in fact, it's printed in the Word of God 365 times. It says, "Do not be afraid." That phrase is there 365 times in the Word of God. Now, one of the messages behind that is that every day of the year, you need to trust God. Every single day, you need to trust God. Fear is not to be something that we're to live with and just feel like, well, this is just a part of life. No, remember, fear is a lack of trust in God. There's never a time to panic. And so as believers, we've got to learn to put our faith to work and learn how to trust God. And on the other side of the break, we'll talk more about tools that help us to put our faith to work. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a God of faith, a God that looks to us and expects us, a God that expects us to trust you in all circumstances. You expect us to trust you when the sun is shining, and you expect us to trust you when the hurricanes are going on. You expect us to trust you when we may have a pocket full of money, and you expect us to trust you when we have no money and the bills are due. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a God that can be trusted. You are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You're all of these and so, so much more. Lord, help us to grow much in our understanding of how we can learn to trust you in the storm, in the rain, as well as in the sunshine. When things are peaceful outside, when things are stormy outside, help us to know, Lord, that you always, always, always can be trusted. Thank you for being our good and our great shepherd who protects us, who guides us, who looks out for us, who provides for us, who's working in our lives every day. We thank you. And we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We look today at the topic of even in the storm, the faith walk continues. We'll be right back.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Here Jesus instructed his disciples to cross a lake and meet him on the other side of it. As they went, they were met by a violent windstorm that halted their progress. Often in our Christian lives, we receive clear instruction from the Lord, only to be met by an obstacle that halts our progress. We must, however, recognize that the onset of a storm does not cancel out God's instructions. halted progress does not equal denied destination. When Jesus directed the disciples to go to the other side, he absolutely meant for them to get there. Delay does not equal denial.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women 25 and up sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
I've had my share of tears, times when I wanted to. The day would never come, but I had to encourage me and find the strength to believe that
you're listening to the music of Marvin Sapp, the song I Win. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of even in the storm, the faith walk continues. Remember this, the Word of God says the just shall live by faith. And so faith is critical to every part of our relationship with God. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if we're wise, we will stay in the school of faith all our life long and always be learning more about how to take our faith and put it to work. So we certainly hope that you will make it your goal to stay in the school of faith and to every day make it your goal to learn more and more how to put your faith to work. Remember this, your faith is not like an automatic car. You know, an automatic car, you get in, you turn the key on, you put it in drive, and you just drive. Your faith is more like a standard shift vehicle. If you don't shift it into gear, it's going to stay in the gear that you put it in and leave it in, and it's never going to shift. You will burn up the clutch before you actually get it to change, because it's not going to change. You have to shift your faith into gear. So today, part of what I want to do is talk to you about ways to turn your faith on, ways to turn the switch of faith on in your life, because remember, it doesn't happen by itself. The fact is, we can be believers who don't know how to skillfully put our faith to work and thus miss many blessings and opportunities because we didn't turn the switch of faith on in our lives. So it's important to know how we turn our faith on in our lives. Remember, as I said, the Bible does not say pray for faith. It doesn't say fast for faith. It doesn't say get upset over faith. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it's important to know if you want to your faith to grow strong and vibrant, you must be a student of the word of God. But you don't stop there. Not only do you read and meditate on the word of God, you put it to work as well. Remember this, we're to, you know, the Bible says faith without works is dead. You don't just read and meditate on the scripture. You read and meditate on it, but you put your faith to work. So we want to talk to you about ways you put your faith to work in your life. Now, one of the great ways whereby we release our faith or turn the switch of faith on in our lives, number one, is through our prayer life. When you pray and ask God, ask for God something in faith, remember what happens is when you ask God for something, it releases the grace of God to go forth to bring it to pass. It also releases the Holy Spirit to work. Now, don't misunderstand. The Holy Spirit is not doesn't work for us per se. We work for Him. Prayer is not a blank check. We're to pray according to the Word of God. And if you pray in line with the Word of God, you will hear yes a whole lot of the time. Okay? In fact, you'll hear yes most all the time when you pray according to God's Word. The problem with many people and believers is often we pray for things that don't line up with the Word of God. So we're going to, many times, we're going to hear no, because God is never going to go against His Word. And so if you don't pray according to the and in line with the word of God, you're going to hear no. But if you pray according to God's word, you will hear yes time and time again. So prayer is one of the ways whereby we release our faith. And so I want to say to every believer listening, remember this, you and I always should want to be growing in our understanding of how to release our faith because we need to be skillful in using our faith. And I want to say again, hello to glad to have Krista T listening in today, and Nia, good to have you all in as well. We need to become skillful in the way we use our faith, because remember this, our faith is a tool and a weapon, and like any weapon in battle that a soldier will use, the soldier needs to be skillful and seek to grow in his or her skill in using weaponry. And so that's one of the truths about faith. So one of the ways whereby you release your faith is through your prayer life, also through your words. And remember this, our prayer life is a weapon and your words are a weapon as well. Now, the fact is we're to speak the truth in love and we're to speak words of faith and words that line up with the love of God as well. And then as we do that, that's another way we release our faith. Now, let me share with you just a few things, words that people say that they may not realize it, but you either release your faith in the word of God or faith in something else. Now, remember, our goal should be to release faith in the Word of God all the time. Now, for example, our words are powerful, whether we realize it or not. Words are a force in life that accomplish tremendous things. Now, for those that don't believe that, all you need to do is go to the book of Genesis and look at Genesis chapter 1. You see that when God created the universe, it doesn't say He twitched his nose, or he blinked his eyes, or he pulled on his ear. It says he spoke the universe. He said, let there be light, and there was light. God used words to create the universe. And one of the lessons behind that is words are powerful. Now, obviously, the words of God are powerful, but your words are powerful as well. Did you know that you can make someone's day by speaking words of encouragement and blessing? On the other hand, you can ruin someone's day by saying something ugly or rude or unthoughtful. And the fact is, sadly, some people are skilled at doing both. Some people are known for being kind and uplifting and encouraging with their words. They bless people regularly with their words. On the other hand, sometimes there are people that are skillful in ruining other people's day by the words they speak and the things they say. Well, our goal should be to use our words to bless others and to encourage others. But also, we're to speak words of faith, words that line up with things that line up with God's word or his will or the things we want to come to pass that line up with the will of God too. Just like, for example, this time of year, sometimes when the weather's changing, sometimes people make statements like they're coming down with a cold or they're about to catch something or they feel like they're every year they catch the flu at this time of year. Never say that. Don't ever say you're going to catch the flu. say, in the name of Jesus, I'm taking healing. And in the name of Jesus, my health is getting better. In the name of Jesus, I bless my immune system. Something positive, but don't ever speak words as if you're going to get sick, because your words are powerful. They're very powerful. And the fact is, it's true whether you believe it or not. I'm reminded of a true story, tragically, of a young man somewhere around the age of 20. He started saying something very strange. He started saying that he would never live to be past 40. Throughout his 20s, he just kept saying he would never live to be past 40. And then he reached 30, and throughout his 30s, he said he would never live to be past 40. Now, where he got this idea, I don't know. But he kept saying it. He kept saying it. Remember this, whether you understand this or not, you are the prophet of your own life. The words you speak help to frame your life. And so it's important that you speak words that line up with the Word of God and line up with faith, because your words are powerful for good or for bad, because our words are a force in the world. Well, he continued to say throughout his 30s that he would never live to be past 40. In his 39th year of life, he contracted a strange disease, and before his 40th birthday, he died. Now, some may say, well, that's strange, that's weird. Actually, it's not, because sadly, he prophesied it for 20 years. And the fact is, your words are powerful whether you understand this or not. So we should speak words that line up with the Word of God and the will of God. Speak positive words, positive things. Never say that you're broke. Never say you're going to get fired from your job. Never say, don't say ugly things about your computer. It might catch a bug or something, you know. Don't say things like that. Speak words that will bless and encourage, because whether you understand this or not, your words are powerful. So, you know, just, you know, even like, for example, you take the statement, you hear, have you ever heard someone say, money doesn't grow on trees? Well, actually, yes, it does. You know, paper money is made out of wood, which grows on trees. But often people will make statements, they don't mean any harm, but they say things they shouldn't say. On the other hand, if you speak positive words, words that line up with the Word of God, like, for example, you should never call yourself stupid, never call yourself a loser. Say, I'm a winner, and I win in life. I'm a positive person. I'm a blessing wherever I go. Positive words that line up with the Word of God. Remember, just like our prayer life, our words are another way whereby we release our faith. So being careful what you say. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue in the book of Proverbs. Well, that's so, so true. We can speak words of life, or we can speak words of death. Be careful what you say. And make it a goal also to speak words that are healing words, kind words, thoughtful words, words like, thank you, I appreciate you, I love you, how can I pray for you, how can I be of encouragement to you, how can I be a blessing to you? Those are words that heal, words that encourage. I forgive you, I'm sorry, words that will bless and words that express thoughtfulness towards other people. Those are words of love. Those too are in turn words of faith. On the other hand, when we speak negative things, just like calling people names, when people call others idiot or stupid or foolish, again, they carry power. And it's power that tears people down. And again, sadly, some people are skillful at loving people, and some people are skillful at tearing people down. You don't want to be skillful at tearing people down. You want to be skillful at loving people. So sometimes we need to pray and say, Lord, help me to be a vessel of faith and love, whereby my words will bless others wherever I go. So we release our faith through our prayer lives, but also we release our faith through the words we speak. And let me share with you again, too. Also, we release our faith through our obedience. I want to share a powerful story in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, a story that you may not be that familiar with, but it's really a powerful story about two courageous ladies who trusted God even in a tough situation. And so remember, God looks for us to trust him in the storms of life, as well as in the sunshine of life, too. And all of us need to grow in our understanding of how to do that. Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15, it tells us these words. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Again, two Hebrew midwives by the name of Shipra and Puah, but it's a powerful story of courageously trusting God even in a tough situation. Well, what's the situation? Two midwives who apparently were on Pharaoh's payroll. Pharaoh tells them one day, when the Hebrew women give birth to baby Hebrew boys, kill the boys, but let the girls live. But understand this, these Hebrew women trusted God, they loved God, they feared God, and they knew what the king, what the Pharaoh was telling them to do was wrong. So they just decided, we're going to trust God and do what we know to be right, and they refused to kill the Hebrew boys. Well, at some point in time, Pharaoh recognized these midwives were not doing what he said. So he calls them in, and if you can picture what an intimidating situation this potentially could be. One of the most powerful kings in the world, and these two just little Hebrew women who have refused to obey the king. He calls them in and probably with great anger wanted to know, why haven't you been doing what I told you to do? But remember this, the key is we're to trust God no matter what. Now, the first step they exhibited by trusting God was they trusted God to do what God wanted them to do, even though the king or the Pharaoh told him to do otherwise, because they knew what the king, what Pharaoh was saying to do was wicked, was wrong and evil. They decided, we're going to trust God and do what God wants us to do as well. That's fearing God. That's trusting God. So here they are before Pharaoh. Well, their response to Pharaoh when he wants to know, why have you kept the Hebrew boys alive? Their response was, well, you know, Pharaoh, these Hebrew women are lively and strong. They're not weak and sickly like these Egyptian women. They just pop those babies out before we get there. Well, what does Pharaoh know about birthing babies? Nothing upon nothing. And they out, by the grace of God, Shipra and Puah outsmart Pharaoh. And if you can picture him just kind of saying, okay, that's fine, you can go. Because what does he know about birthing babies? Nothing. And so by God's grace, God gives them wisdom and grace and ingenuity to outsmart the mighty Pharaoh. They trusted God, and God got them through the situation. Now, it's important to understand this. That took faith, because too many people would have said, well, you know, I don't want to end up dead here. I better do what Pharaoh says. But they trusted God, and God used them. And not only did God bless them, but it says God's word says he blessed them with households of their own. In other words, God gave these two single midwives husbands and children of their own because they honored him and trusted him even in a tough situation. Even in a storm, even in a time of difficulty, they trusted God. That's what we're supposed to do. Even when times get tough in life, you obey God, you trust God, you do what God wants you to do, not the world. And God will always, always, always bless that. So one of the expressions of faith is our obedience to the word of God. If we do what God's word says, God will be honored through that and his will be done. And notice this. Pharaoh had to change his whole strategy of killing, how to kill the Hebrew boys, because these midwives didn't cooperate with his wicked plan. But keep in mind, probably Shipra and Puah helped save the life of a little baby boy by the name of Moses. So the key is, when you obey God, when you trust God, even in tough times, God will use that to bless the world and to build his kingdom and to further his will in the world. So remember this. Every day, we're to put our faith to work. We're to trust God, even in the storms, even in the difficult times. Because remember, when we trust God, we please God, and God's work gets done. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic of even in the storm, the faith walk continues. We'll be right back.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Men need the church every bit as much as the church needs men. So why do relatively few show up there? Dr. Tony Evans offers this insight as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
We are experiencing today a cultural tsunami that is sweeping away a generation of men and boys from becoming the kind of men that God intended for us to be. For many men, church just doesn't feel right. It's like when Sister Evans asked me to hold her purse, it just doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel natural. And so many men come because they're pushed to or forced to or made to feel guilty. But for many men, church is soft. It's not for real men. When Jesus was preparing his leaders to set up the church, his disciples who would become the apostles, he spent virtually all of his time with men. They were with him in order to be like him and pattern themselves after him. When God wanted to establish the order of the church, he said, I want the men to lead in every place. I want the men to pray. He wanted to establish his pattern of male leadership, not to the exclusion of women and never to the denunciation of women, but also not to the weakening of the man.
Learn more about what it takes to man up in your marriage, your career, your relationship with your kids, and at church. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or your church study group. Visit us at tonyevans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Men. That's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Makes no difference what you're going through. You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. This is another test. It won't last always. So get ready.
Get ready
for your blessing.
For your blessing.
Get ready.
Get ready
for your miracle.
For your miracle.
Get ready.
Get ready
for your blessing.
For your blessing.
Get ready.
Get ready
for your miracle.
For your miracle.
Listen.
the music of Norman Hutchins, the song God's Got a Blessing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic, even in the storm, the faith walk continues. And so remember one of the important truths that every believer needs to remember, that even in the storms of life, though the storm may blow, the faith walk continues. God expects us to trust him when things are going well, and when they're not, don't seem to be going so well as well. And, you know, this election cycle is a good example. You have a lot of people very, very upset one way or another in the midst of this election. You have lots and lots of people that are angry in supporting one candidate or angry in supporting another. And some people are actually going to get angry at you if you're not supporting the same person they're supporting. Well, now, that's wrong. That's wrong because, again, you need to love people even if they're voting for someone different from you. You don't stop loving them with the love of Jesus because they're voting for someone else. Now, you can pray for them if you think they're voting for the wrong person, but people are at a point where you have people that are ready to fight because of their candidate. Well, so keep in mind, it's important then that we make it our goal to walk in the love of God no matter what's going on and understand this. See, now there are a lot of people that are afraid because of so many things we see going on in our culture. Well, again, that's understandable as well, but it's not acceptable. Because we need to learn to say, Lord, I trust you no matter what's going on. Again, storms rage in our individual lives. Storms can sometimes rage in a marriage. Sometimes storms can rage in a home and a family between parents and children. Sometimes storms may rage in a school, on a job. Sometimes storms rage in a nation like today. But no matter what's going on, God wants us to learn to say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. So keep in mind, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. There's no way you can please God without faith. So we need to be always seeking to put our faith to work. So when you're tempted to worry, speaking the word is a very wise thing to do. Take, for example, the 23rd Psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, let me take a moment to try to address a question that was shared. A question was asked, how do you stay encouraged when you believe you're doing what God wants and to start, and you start feel like it's not working or working out? And also, there was another question earlier about what if you have to, what if you're believing God and trusting God, and it doesn't come right away as well. Both of those are good questions. They're important questions. Well, keep in mind, Abraham is a good example. Abraham, God had let Abraham know that he was going to have a son, but he had to wait. I think it was right about 25 years before his son was actually born. Now, if you had to wait 25 years on your promise, you think your faith might would wane a little bit? Well, for some people, that just might be the case. Remember this, time tries trust. Time will try your trust. And so if you don't get your answer right away, sometimes after so many days, some weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years, now keep in mind, God answers in his own timing. But the key is we've got to learn to trust God and trust his timing. So we pray about a matter and put it in God's hands and leave it there. But if you end up having to wait for months or maybe even years, you keep trusting God. At no point should you ever say, oh, forget it. I guess God wasn't listening. I guess I'll never get it. Don't say that, because sometimes you can nullify your prayers with the words that you speak. So again, time tries trust, and you need to understand that. But sometimes we've got to learn how to put something in God's hands and never nullify it by what you say. Just never say, well, God, I guess you're not going to answer my prayers. Don't ever say that, because it's kind of like sending a message up in the sky but shooting it down with an arrow, because your words can nullify what you pray. You don't want to do that. But sometimes we just have to learn to trust God even in the long haul, because remember, God can be trusted. Some answers come quickly, and some may take hours, some days, some weeks, some months, some years, but we've got to learn to trust God no matter what. So, and understand this too, sometimes God does say no. Sometimes if it's not the will of God for something to happen, but a wonderful tool and another way to express your faith is by learning to thank and praise God no matter what you see. Because remember this, praise and thanks is a way to basically say, God, I'm thanking and praising you that I'm victorious no matter what. I thank and I praise you because I'm a winner. I thank you and I praise you because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So one of the great ways whereby we can release our faith in life is through praise and worship and giving thanksgiving to God continually, because that too is an indication that we're trusting God no matter what happens. So we've mentioned that we release our faith through our prayer life. We release our faith through our words of faith. We release our faith also through our obedience to God. And also we release our faith through the words, in other words, through our attitude as well. And so remember this, it's important to know that our goal should be releasing faith continually every single day. Also, I mentioned we release our faith through our praise and worship of God. All of these are ways whereby we do it. Now, keep in mind, some days are tougher than other times. But remember this, no matter what's going on, even when the storm is at its height, you keep trusting God. There's never a time to panic. Under any circumstances, there's never a time to panic. And so it's important to always avoid panicking. Let me share with you in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm just going to skim a little bit for time reasons. But it tells, let me kind of set the story up for you. Elisha was basically would, by divine revelation, would tell the king of Israel the movements and the activities of the Syrian king and his army. And so when the Syrian king would try a strategy, because Elisha was informing the Israelite king was on his guard and knew what was going on time and time again. After a while, the Syrian king got upset. And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, he says to his soldiers, who's a spy amongst us? Because somebody keeps telling the king of Israel our plans. And his advisors tell him, king, there's no spy. It's Elisha, the prophet of God. He's telling what you're doing, telling your plans that you make even in your own room. And he decides, well, I'm going to fix Elisha. And he sends to Elisha's city where Elisha lives, Dothan, an army to capture Elisha. So picture this in chapter 6, starting at verse 14. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Now, I want you to picture this scene. Elisha and his servant are living there in Dothan, and his servant goes out and looks out the door and sees a huge army surrounding Dothan there to come and arrest Elisha and his servant. And if you can picture his servant, he's so upset, he might be about to have a heart attack. He's so scared. Well, Elisha, if you can picture Elisha here, when he hears the servant, picture Elisha sitting at his table, and he keeps right on sipping his coffee as if nothing has happened. He's not worried. He's not upset. Not worried. Not sweating it at all. And again, the servant, his response is, Elisha, what are we going to do? And Elisha is not concerned about the situation, but he's concerned about his servant. He's probably thinking to himself, let me pray for this young man before he wets on himself. He's so upset. He's so disturbed. And so he prays not for God to deliver him and his servant. He prays for the servant, and he says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Because Elisha's response to the servant was, there are more with us than there are with them. Elisha knew that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit was on his side, but also he knew the armies of the hosts of Israel, the armies of the hosts of heaven were on his side as well. In other words, the sky was full of the angels of God, the army of God, ready to do what God wanted done. And so Elisha wasn't worried at all. He was trusting God. And that's what we've got to learn to do, to trust God. Elisha, after he finishes praying for his servant all of a sudden sees with the eyes of faith, he can see the angels that Elisha knew were already there. And so the servant didn't have to worry anymore either. Well, Elisha prays, Lord, strike this whole Syrian army blind. And they're all struck blind. He leads them to an Israelite city. The Israelite king says to Elisha, shall I kill them? And he says, no, feed them and send them home. And that's exactly what he does. But remember this, Elisha trusted God throughout the whole situation, and he was never worried. He was never upset because he knew God can be trusted. You and I have to grow to our understanding of this. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Do you know how much bigger God is than all of your problems, all of your trials, all of your storms? God is not just a little bit bigger. He is infinitely bigger than all the biggest trials you will ever face in your whole life. We've got to learn to say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Why? Because storms may come and may come often in your life, but God still wants you to trust him, to lean upon him. So it's good to speak words of faith, to say throughout your storm, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm leaning on you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Speaking the promises of God is a very important and a wise tool and a wise weapon to use in the midst of going through your storm. Trusting God, and remember this, speaking words of faith is important too. If you don't speak words of faith, sometimes it may be easier for the devil to discourage you. Why? Because he's screaming at you through your thoughts. But remember, when you speak words of faith, your mind has to be still to hear what your voice is saying. So remember, when you speak words of faith, it overrides even your thoughts in your mind. So that's why it is wise to speak words of faith in any storm, in any circumstances. But also it's wise to speak words of faith throughout your circumstances. Every day, just to say, I'm a world overcomer because I'm born of God. Lord, I trust you. Thank you, Lord, for how that you supply all my needs. Thank you for how that I have the mind of Christ. I know what to do. Speaking words of faith is very important for each and every one of us. So as we draw to a close, keep in mind, as we've looked at the topic, even in the storm, the faith walk continues. Remember this, all your life, learn more and more about faith and how to put your faith to work, because the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So learning to use your faith skillfully is a very important goal for every believer in the whole world. And remember, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you're not operating in faith, you are not pleasing God. On the other hand, when you are operating in faith, you're pleasing God very, very much so. We're called to be a people who live by faith. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity for us to release our faith through our prayer life. Thank you for the chance to release our faith through our words. Thank you for the chance to release our faith through our praise and worship. Thank you for the opportunity to release our faith through our obedience as well. More and more, Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of how to be people who live lives full of faith, who are trusting you in all circumstances, in the storms as well as in the sunshine, in the valleys as well as on the mountaintop. Help us to be a people that honor you and please you continually as we trust you no matter what's going on. And Lord, help us to be wise and faithful enough to be reading and meditating on your word daily so that our faith will grow every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. We've looked at the topic of even in the storm, the faith walk continues. Thanks for listening and join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.